Thanks for tuning in for Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell, and longtime listeners will realize here on Cincinnati Edition, no matter the weather, no matter the day of the year, we love talking about gardening. And there's a great book out from Ohio Press called The Midwestern Native Guide, an illustrated guide, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants. And on the phone with me this morning is one of the co-authors, Charlotte Edelman, who wrote the book with Bernard Schwartz. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
Well, let's begin by defining what a Midwestern native plant is.
Well, it's a plant that grew here before people from Europe and other parts of the world arrived here in North America and brought their own plants with them. So it's a plant that would have been growing here before Columbus, let's say, discovered America.
And a lot of the plants that we have in our gardens these days are non-native plants.
That's right. That's one of the peculiarities of gardening in the United States. Here we have a whole continent which is just full of beautiful, wonderful plants. And for historical reasons, we end up gardening mostly with plants from Asia and Europe. When people find out some of the benefits of native plants, they will start using native plants instead of introduced plants.
Well, and that is something that you do point out in this book and talk about both the plants and the wildlife that it attracts. But native plants really do help with the environment more than these non-native plants. How do they differ and compare?
Well, the native plants, I think, would be said to do more benefit for the environment because, first of all, they are what the environment actually is. They have been growing here for thousands of years. In the Midwest, they've been growing here since the glaciers receded. So that's thousands of years. And, of course, they were plants that moved in from both probably the East Coast and the West Coast. So they have certain functions that are tied in with animals and birds, other plants. And so they're just like suited to this particular environment. You compare that to a plant from, let's say, Asia. When it is brought over here and installed in a garden, it has no relationship with the other plants that have been coexisting for such a long time. And it's brought in without any of the checks and balances that it had back in Asia. For example, whatever insects kept eating it in Asia usually aren't here. And whatever other plants competed with it in Asia to keep it from becoming excessively spreading around, they're not here either. So this gives these non-native plants a leg up, and then they start taking over the native plants, which in certain cases it is, which have these relationships with not only other plants but other animals like butterflies, and that starts harming the environment.
And I know these non-native plants, I'm very familiar with a couple, purple loosestrife for one,
right.
Something I planted and learned why it's called an invasive plant.
Right.
What is the most invasive non-native plant that we face in the Midwest that we really should be watching out for?
Well, I think you did do an excellent choice with purple loosestrife. I mean, it's one of the ones that, and it's such a beautiful plant. That's one of the sad things is that when these plants are brought in, they're brought in for many reasons. And one of them is because they're beautiful. So people who love purple flowers would love to have them in their garden. And then they start taking over and suffocating out virtually all the other plants that would grow in that same kind of ecosystem. So purple loosestrife is called the purple plague, and it's a terrible plant. There's garlic mustard. There's just so many, it's hard to list them. But let me just tell you one thing about our book. Although the problem of non-native invasive plants is huge, our book is not aiming at listing specifically non-native invasive plants. We are trying to call attention to garden plants that are non-native, and some of them are not invasive yet. So, I mean, there's plenty of non-native plants that are very popular, and people plant them and never guess that they're not native. They just assume that they're here and they're native, but they're not native to the Midwest or North America, and they're not invasive. People might say, then what's the problem? Well, the problem is that, one, they can become invasive because no one exactly knows why certain plants become invasive and others don't. So there are lots of plants that are not invasive right now, but may become invasive later. Another reason why it's a good idea not to choose non-native plants, even if they are not invasive, is they don't have that very specific quality, which is so important and what I try so hard to emphasize in this book. If you have a non-native plant, the chances are almost zero that anything will ever use it for reproduction. Butterflies essentially lay their eggs on native plants. So if you want a butterfly to reproduce, you have to give it a native plant to lay its eggs on. So what's a world without butterflies? What we've ended up with, I think, at least in the area that I live in, is miles and miles of daylilies from China and other non-native plants and butterflies flying over can't find a place to lay their eggs, and then we see very few butterflies.
Well, I you mentioned lilies there and daylilies, and I was shocked to learn from your book that daylilies are not visited by butterflies at all.
That's right.
And that really does cut down on the butterfly population, and that's one thing that really did attract me to the Midwestern Native Garden and Illustrated Guide was the fact that you do point out how crucial some of these plants are, say milkweed for monarch butterflies,
right.
In order to, enjoy the bounty of our environment here in the Midwest.
Right. The Midwest is considered the region in North America that has the most monarch butterflies. And the reason is that it has the most milkweeds, because milkweed is the only species that monarch butterflies will or can lay their eggs on. And so if you have any other plant, they cannot lay their eggs on it. So that's a very specific need that a monarch butterfly has. However, because of things like development and pesticides and farming practices, the Midwest no longer has as many milkweeds as it historically had. And so monarch butterflies are having a hard time finding milkweeds to lay their eggs on.
One of the challenges, though, it's getting a wee bit easier, is finding native plants because so many nurseries and greenhouses are, they're pumping out those daylilies and butterfly bushes, the non-native plants.
Right.
What do you suggest to someone who wants to go native?
Well, I suggest a couple things. I mean, one can look on the web and find sources of native plants. And there are lots of nurseries that specialize in native plants. And, of course, one wants to buy native plants that are from the Midwest if your garden or landscape is in the Midwest. So, I mean, I think one can just go on the web and get a lot of information about where to buy plants. But there are also, in our book, we do have a section called Selected Resources, and we do provide more specific information about regional native plant sellers. And I mean, it's no secret. I would say that there's this Plant Native on the web, and they have a list of native plant nurseries and sources of native plants broken down by state. And the University of Texas and the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center does that as well. Okay, so you can get native plants through these nurseries, but of course they are mail order, and that is something some people find disturbing, but actually they're fabulous. I mean, I have gotten native plants from these nurseries, and they arrive in wonderful shape. They're beautiful. I don't have a problem at all with it, and plenty of people buy non-native plants from all these different nurseries. So, I mean, it's the same thing, only you choose a native plant source. Or you can also be very, very selective when you get other catalogs from places that don't specialize in native plants and just choose native plants that they offer. Another thing is there are native plant sales being held more and more frequently by forest preserves, park districts, native plant societies, And then, of course, if you join a native plant organization or a garden club, there's a lot of interest in native plants, and with a little bit of initiative, people find each other and they can swap them and share them.
Charlotte Adelman, the co-author of The Midwestern Native Garden, an illustrated guide, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants. As she quotes in her introduction from the New England Wildflower Society, using native plants is the ultimate environmentally friendly garden practice. You can find out more about the Midwestern Native Garden and Illustrated Guide by visiting our website, wvxu.org. And thank you very much, Charlotte, for being on Cincinnati Edition.
Oh, thank you. It was absolutely wonderful.